Welcome to this podcast for St. Peter's Church Greenhill, as we seek to become loving, witnessing, and growing people.
May I speak in the name of the Son, in the power of the Holy Spirit, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. When I first read these gospel passages, I suddenly thought, oh well, here we go again. Pharisees are having yet another go at Jesus, just because they blamed him for all sorts of things, because here was someone so different. He didn't follow their rules. For goodness sake, he even spoke to women. I mean, how could you? He ate with tax collectors. So yet again, they're trying to coerce and trick Jesus into confessing to having broken their laws in order to remove him. For me today, it's not about the words they've used, but their repetitive action towards Jesus, which up to now has never worked. And I just ask myself, why? Why people, even today, still do this to one another? I also started to wonder why people did, both then and now, lay blame at the feet of others. Why do we try to coerce and manipulate others to our way of thinking and maybe our way of life, just as the Pharisees did with Jesus? It wasn't just the Pharisees that did it, because we still see it today with politicians, with world leaders. We saw a lot during Brexit and during the pandemic when actions could have been questioned. It's my belief that when we do it as Christians, we are denying the teachings of Jesus, ignoring his example, and in doing so, we are denying him. Now, I think that I know and understand these Pharisees a little bit, because I've seen Jesus Christ Superstar. Not just the once, but many times in different stage adaptations. Has anybody else seen it? Only one? Only one? God, admit it. Our hands are going up now. Hey, don't it take you back? I can't imagine how anyone hasn't seen it. It's often on in different versions at Easter. There's often stage plays doing it. For those possibly a minority who've never even heard of it, is there anybody who've never even heard of Jesus Christ Superstar? No, I'm going to take that as everybody's heard of it. But let's remind ourselves, it started out as a rock album. It was in vinyl and those newfangled cassettes. Then it was a stage show, and then finally a film which was released in about 1973. It's loosely based on the gospel accounts of the last few weeks of Jesus' life, and the dialogue is primarily rock music. Now, when I first bought the double cassette of the music, I was a youngish teenager and thought myself a rock chick. I was into Deep Purple and Led Zeppelin. And I still maintain that the 70s music is still the best. However, my other heroes, Jam, Marmalade, Sweet, Bread, Grapefruit, shows they didn't always pick the best names. In fact, they sound like a picnic. As we get older, we acknowledge that time seems to pass more quickly. But on the other hand, time seems to become more relative. To me, I find it hard to accept that there have been a couple of generations born since this film was released, and yet it didn't seem so long ago. It's hard to get my head around that my own children and grandchildren were born afterwards. It's a conundrum, because the 70s to me were only a short time ago. I don't know if anybody else feels like that. Take away my nanan's head, my mummy's head, my wife's head, and you'll still find a rock chick ready to boogie. Well, if arthritis had permitted it. As a reminder to those who have seen Jesus Christ Superstar, or to set the scene for those who haven't, the film begins with a group of hippies travelling by bus to rocky wasteland. And despite having few props, as always in films, they end up with a lot. They do, however, lift a cross from the roof of the bus. The Pharisees are seen early on, deposited around scaffolding. Now, we know the baddies because, like cowboy baddies, they're dressed in black. They're wearing black robes, weird big black round hats that look like upturned vases. They remind me of vultures waiting to feed on prey. And in this film, in this time, their prey is Jesus. They are depicted as a mob with no independent thought. They incense each other and whip up hatred in others against Jesus. They're like the Borg on Star Trek. They want to assimilate Jesus into being like them, but that's another sermon. We can still see this culture today. Gangs on street corners. Gangs claiming territory is theirs. Coercing others to join them. Whipping up hatred for anyone or anything which appears to be against them. It's been in the news this week about girls being coerced to join gangs, being hidden, being forgotten by society. We also see this with actions by organisations. The group Insulate Britain blockading the M25. Others stopping aircraft taking off. Whilst I am passionate about our own climate emergency, I would prefer to make up my own mind through prayer how to deal with it and not put lives in danger, and certainly not to be found wanting, because I do not share that same vision as the Pharisees found Jesus wanting. In the film, we see Judas proclaiming he has the same vision as Jesus, but even more so. We hear him trying to bargain with Jesus over perfume, over the poor, blaming Jesus for his own inevitable actions, laying the blame even of his own death at the feet of Jesus. I confess I've also tried making bargains with Jesus through my life. I've asked for things and promised in return to be good. I'll be kinder to others. I'll even go to church on a Sunday. Now look at me. I always promise whatever I thought Jesus would like to hear, not realising he sees what is really in my heart. Bargaining didn't work for Judas and it didn't work for me. Can I invite you just to think, have you ever tried making bargains with Jesus and did it work? I doubt it. I've also blamed Jesus, blamed God for things that's happened in my life, even when they were clearly my fault. I've learned along the way that it's okay, because as a child of God, as children of God, he is there for us always and will heal our wounds, comfort our sorrows, and walk with us through difficult times. Even when we deny him, he remains with us. We know Jesus told Peter he would deny him. And yes, in the film, after Jesus was arrested, a woman called out. Well, she sang, but you'll be grateful to know I'm not going to sing. So she called out, "I think I've seen you somewhere. I remember you were with that man they took away. I recognise your face." Peter tells us she's got it wrong and denies being where Jesus was. He denied this twice more. And as the cock crowed, he remembered what Jesus said, and he wept bitterly. Denial is not just by what we say, but also by our actions. And one way is when we try to blame others, when we lay the blame for things at the feet of others. Peter was in fear for his life, and I wonder if I'd have been in Peter's place, would I have denied Jesus as well? I could possibly have done so. But what is the excuse when our lives are not at risk? We are not Jesus. We do not have the power to take responsibility for the actions of others, such as the Pharisees, such as those committing crimes on our streets, those who live life differently, those who think differently, those who have wounds we cannot see. scars that's been received in the past. There was a time at the very start of my curacy when someone talked to me about someone else. I'd no idea what, but the result was the second person found me out and started shouting at me and verbally abusing me inside the church. After training for 10 years and still coming to terms with God's call on my life, that day I nearly walked away from church and from God. But it was through God's saving grace, through restitution and through his love, that we could acknowledge each other's feelings and pain and become family again. I was called back to God by his intervention. I cannot deny, though, we all have this human instinct. And this chap was thinking he was sticking up for another. He had no thought other than that. And it's like a motherly love for a child who may be accused of doing something. But it's really hard when we don't know or understand the angers from others. When we don't have the ability to speak calmly or try to articulate our hurt with the person we see as responsible, especially when our emotions are stirred up even more by others, by outsiders. Only Jesus could do this when picked on, when blamed, when they were trying to coerce him into making a confession of guilt. Only Jesus could be still loving to his accusers. With our human weaknesses, we have to learn to love our accusers as Christ is teaching us. Love has no need to justify itself. It is a gift we can each give and receive. I heard a saying recently, trauma happens and harms us, but I often wonder if the worst trauma is the second wave, when your story is misbelieved, mistrusted and maligned. This happened to Jesus. Those who had received his love received his healing, now thought he should be removed just as the Pharisees wanted. We know this can happen to us, and has certainly happened to me when I've been given the chance to speak but was still misbelieved, and that can be really so much more hurtful than the original accusation. The film ends with a lone figure on a cross as the bus fills with a very quiet hippies and they drive away. After watching it for the first time, I couldn't believe it finished like that. We know that this final act was so much more. Everywhere was covered in darkness from noon to 3 in the afternoon. When Jesus gave up his spirit, the curtain of the temple was torn into two. The earth shook. Tombs broke open. This was not really the quiet ending shown, this film shows, and I knew then it was only part one. I didn't know then that I'd have to wait many years for part two, when the film Risen was released in 2016. Has anybody seen Risen? Oh, good, somebody's admitting it, not on my own. Now, the first part of this particular film is graphically gruesome. It's got fighting, maiming and crucifixions being the norm. Nothing was gentle. Now, some stage plays depict Jesus as being weak, but we have to remember he knew what his fate would be. He told the disciples the end was nigh. We knew he could have saved himself if he had succumbed to being manipulated by the mobs and the Pharisees. We probably all know how hard it is to stand up for truth and justice when we are in a minority. How our very words can be twisted and used as ammunition against us. It's so much easier to be riled up and follow others who can take control. That their thoughts become our thoughts. That it's easy to slot into mob rule, just as that has occurred over many years. The hatred against Jews, how the mobs in Germany rose up against friends and neighbours. I have heard the anger against refugees coming here and claiming our benefits and our housing, but how can we be so angry without knowing the facts? The pain they may have had to endure, those they've had to leave behind. Thinking about the recent conflict and oppression in Afghanistan and those looking for safe havens as their lives are at risk, that family may have already been killed. We have to remember that the world was created for the joy of God. And we can enjoy God through his creation. Creation is not just the world, but all our brothers and sisters, no matter where they live and who they are. We are all called to compassion. Knowing how gruesome the film Risen is, the pain inflicted, we can begin through this film to understand how resilient, how brave Jesus is, that he knew beyond certainty that going to the cross, we would all share in his resurrection, have the promise of salvation, and look to eternal life. This is the power of God and of his endless love for us all. With this love, we know we can face our own oppressors, face accusations against us, and yet, through patience and prayer, we can learn to love them as God loves us. As in John 3, verse 16, where it says, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. The film Risen contains such beautiful moments amongst the carnage. It depicts how the love of Christ surmounts all things, that by his love we can all be united in our beliefs and in our faith. Also, it reminds us that we have choices to make. In Risen, a military tribune follows orders to find the body of Jesus to disprove the resurrection. But it's a journey which makes him question his own beliefs and his own spirituality. His search leads him to the disciples and, to his astonishment, the risen Christ. The journey changes something in him, as it does in us when we begin our journey following in the footsteps of Christ. And isn't it something so wonderfully powerful? If we ever come to a time when we're wanting to blame others, when we're so angry that we want to defend others, when we hear the words that may incite us to join with others on their quest of the destruction of another, we can remember the words of 1 Corinthians 2 verses 5. My faith does not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. We must not listen to a collective voice, but only to God. Living our lives for others feels strange and alien, but that is our calling. When we live with Christ at the centre, we are set free from living for ourselves, because we are living for something much, much bigger, for Christ himself. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for the power of your love and for your salvation. We ask for your wisdom to discern carefully and not to judge others too quickly or to judge too harshly. Loving God, it is by the power of your grace we are forgiven when we transgress your laws. Help us to be loving with all our brothers and sisters in Christ, so that when our day of judgment comes, we are assured of your gentle arms, giving us safe harbour and peace until the day when we see the kingdom of God for ourselves. Amen.